Well, good morning, church. Wow, don't you love that good old song, I'm Redeemed? If you're a child of God, you need to know about the doctrine of redemption. Look it up and know you're one of them. And you can proudly say, I'm one of them, the redeemed ones, who one of these days is going to leave this old world and go to your new home where you'll be there forever and ever and ever. Wow, what good-looking faces y'all have. Some of you just smiled. You think it's you? Isn't God good?
Amen.
Yes, he is. Well, if you need to know more about what Nick was talking about earlier, just see him before you leave today. If you need any information about youth at all, see him. He has all the answers. Do not ask me, because he does not let me know what he's doing. But I trust him completely. Lene says it's okay to do that, so I checked with her and she says it's okay. So please check with them on anything that has to do with young people, teenagers, 4, 5, and 6 year olds who won, right, girls and boys? Yeah, Braden wouldn't let me let him out of that. Okay, if you're visiting, please fill out a visitor's card. There should be one right there in front of you. I've said that 1,000 times since I've been the pastor of this church. There should be one right in front of you. And sometimes people find them. So if you're visiting today, find that card, fill it out, and drop it in the offering plate, and we'll welcome you to Liberty Fellowship Church. You won't find a friendlier place in Johnson City, Elizabethton, Bristol, Kingsport, Irwin, Jonesboro, Greenville, wherever you're going around. You won't find a more friendly place to worship than right here. I was doing good till I never heard anything. Mercy. It's been on the sign out there since we started, a friendly place to worship. Amen. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Okay, let's make it. Come on, Macy, help me. That went all the way to the back seat. Okay, if our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering. God's been good to us. Let's give back to his work. He has blessed us, church. He really has. And if you're a part of the church, he's blessed you. You are a blessed individual. Henry, would you bless this offering, please? Amen. Comes to bring us a special song. I have a very special friend in the congregation today. Her name is Sadie. Sadie is one of my best friends. We just met a few minutes ago, and already she is my best friend. Right, Sadie? Can you hold your hand up so we can see where you are, honey? There she is. That's little Sadie. Look at that face. Lord, have mercy. Okay. Sadie, you just make your little self at home, honey, and we love you to death, and we want you to come back, okay? Henry.
I know I do this song a lot, but it reminds me of my daddy. And the most important thing from the day I was born was for him to tell me about Jesus. Every time I ever got in trouble, Daddy would sit down with me before we'd do anything. He'd pray and he'd say, "One, don't worry about disappointing me. Worry about disappointing Jesus." He said, "Get your life right, because that's the most important thing."
Tell me one one more time about
Jesus. Tell me more, tell me more about
I long to see my Savior's face.
Just one more time. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Some years ago when my father was passing away, the months before he did, he would say to us, "Boys, I'd just like to preach one more time. One more time." I don't think there's any preaching needed in heaven, but if there is, he's preaching. He just wanted to expound the word one more time. How important this is to our life, folks. It's invaluable. It is. Well, that was a song sang at the exact right time. Because if you'll turn in your word to John chapter 11, verse 1, we'll read a few verses here. There have been songs written about Lazarus. In fact, there's one Amy sings here, 4 days late, that everybody seems to love that song. I do, I know. And here's Dominique bringing my little one in. Oh, Lordy mercy, look at that. Isn't God good? Now, if you don't see that as a gift to the church also and to your own personal life, you're missing the point. Baby wasn't born just for Dominique and Donovan, I can tell you. No, absolutely not. That baby was born for me and you, right? It's one of us. And let's just love that baby and watch it grow up. I have never, ever liked it any less going downstairs to the Sunday school rooms on Sunday morning, opening the door and seeing those little faces. And I'll never get tired of it. Grace, she's a different one. She has to get up and come and hug me, and I don't like that. But some morning when you want to do something a little different, just go down and open that door and see those little faces. I promise you it'll change your day. Well, let's read about Lazarus. We're going to read about it in just a little bit different way in which you might have understood Lazarus to be. We know it all has to do with the power of God to resurrect a person. And you may, as the 4 days late does, think about the day in which he's going to resurrect you as a child of God, resurrect you and take you to heaven. Now, our young people, I hope that you don't shut me off here and say, well, that's too far down the road for me to think about. I need to remind you, it's not. It's not too far down the road for you to think about, because for one thing, there are young people passing away all the time. You can't say that like my time will be when I get a certain age, and you can't do that. Even though we pray for a long life, a long successful life in our Christian lives, we pray for that. We want that. I think as long as we're alive, we ought to want to be valuable to the service of the Lord. And that's why we should want a long life, not just to please ourselves, but to build the kingdom. Because you see, we're not temporary people. We're eternal people. You look at yourself and you say to yourself, I'm an eternal person. You may have lived 20, 30, some of you in your teens, 16, 17, 18, but you, it doesn't matter what your age is. This is not about an age. Even though I just sang happy birthday to Anthony a little while ago, he's getting older. But this life's not about an age. It's not. So if somebody tries to put you in that block of what age you are, don't let them do that. You're an eternal being. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So let's look at it that way. Now let's read what it says about Lazarus. And I think we're going to see where there is a resurrection that you're going to really enjoy taking this view of it. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. I sing a song about Lazarus, you know. Lazarus and what was his name? The little wee little man. Y'all know him? You know Zacchaeus, the little man. And it has to do with, you know, them getting saved and meeting the Lord and how the Lord changed their life. And he'll change your life also. So he says, now a certain man named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Giving us a little bit more about Lazarus. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I thought that was a good way to put that. If you're going to see a doctor or someone who can take care of a person who's sick, and you say, the person that you love is sick, you could look at it as that's a sales job to try to get you up there real quick, you know. He's the one you love. You ought to be up there taking care of him. Well, the fact that he loved him was the reason he did not go right away. Now watch this. It says, now when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. You resurrected him from the grave, and you're saying this sickness is not unto death. What's he talking about there? Oh, folks, he's talking about what I just told you. He's talking about eternal death. Hey, when you leave this old world, don't you worry about people saying, oh, he's dead. You'll be, if you're a child of God, you'll be more alive than ever. Because you'll be alive with no pain, no sorrow, no sin, none of those things that will affect your life down here. So when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but here's what it is for. For the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Think about that for a minute or two. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He did. Loves you too, by the way. If you're not a child of God today, if you are not saved, ready to go to heaven, I beg you. The word saved is a good word. I'm trying to think what he is. He come all the way from Canada. Because he came to Canada from China. Well, no, from China he came to Susie's house. He was a student, exchange student. He was an exchange student back in the 90s. And he came down yesterday to visit Susie and thank her again for taking him in and him being here for the school year. And getting to meet all the people here in America. And he never went back to China. But when she brought him over to the house to meet me, You know what he said to me? He said, I wasn't saved in 95, but I'm saved today. Amen. He couldn't have said anything better for me. You know, when he came and Susie said he was a little bit wild, like a teenager, you know, in high school. But he said, I'm saved. And I said, well, if you ever get back here, I want you to come and make sure you're staying on the weekend because I want you to give your testimony. There's nothing prettier than a testimony from someone who speaks another language. Right? Because then it's not about a language. It's not about being an American Christian. It's just a Christian, a saved individual, one of my brothers. So maybe we'll get him back. So he said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode two more days. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. In other words, I'm not moving from here. They think I need to be up there. I don't need to be up there. I'm teaching them a lesson, and I'm going to teach it the way I want to teach it. So I'm not going up there. So he stayed there 2 more days. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest now thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, he's not just talking about day and night here. Not at all. He's talking about what changes a man from light to from darkness to light. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about what changes a man from lost to saved. Yeah. Now, if you're saved right now, there'll be a little hallelujahs going on there in your mind and in your heart. If you're a child of God, because you're going to see something in this you've probably never seen before. Then let me read verse 11 and I'll hush on the scripture. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. To him, he was just laying there sleeping. But the Bible says he was dead. He says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. It was a little bit more than that. He'd been dead for 4 days, and his sister even said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. He's starting to rot. Can I say things like that? And y'all know, y'all live, don't you? Don't you live in every day when some things just don't smell good? Yeah. Right. Well, she says, he stinks by now. He's been dead 4 days. Oh, let me just see. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Just leave him alone. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. I like that, plainly. Lazarus is dead. Now he's going to explain things to where they'll see the difference. But he said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Well, I love it when y'all go quiet. To the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him, because I'm going to show you something. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're so, so grateful for this scripture. We're grateful for this morning in your house and for the opportunity to worship you as your children. And Lord, if there's anyone in this congregation who does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior, Lord, I pray that today will be the day that they say, Lord, forgive me of my sin of unbelief and save me. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, may that be the way it is. And we praise you for everything that's going to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Sickness can be physical. As you get older, there seems to be more of it. I don't know why it multiplies, but it does. And from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, there will be pain and nausea. Even life hurts. You know what I mean by life hurts? Not maybe bones and stuff, but life hurts. And the longer you live, the more that's going to happen. So we know there's a physical sickness, and none of us like to think of that, but that's the way it is. But the most important sickness that there is that we need to understand about, and he's going to do a teaching lesson here in this scripture, is spiritual sickness. Now, spiritual sickness can be if you're not saved. Because then it changes into where he says, it's not a sickness unto death. But if you're not saved, I got to tell you, it is a sickness unto death. It is. Now, if you're saved, there is a spiritual sickness also. You cannot be where the Lord wants you. You could be sliding backward from where you were, going back and not being anything for your life. And by the way, I got to remind you that if you stay in that condition, the Bible says, not me, I didn't know until I read it in his word, that he can take you out earlier than you wanted to go. Because you see, again, life is not in how long you live. Life is in where you're going when you leave here. That's the difference. So for physical sickness, I got to tell you that there's a whole lot of doctors out there. You're covered. And I just happened to look at a few. Some of them I go to, and some of them you might go to. And it doesn't. There's no negative statements about this, about who you see. There's just, these are the doctors. Now, I'm going to name these because I want you to get the physical sickness in your mind that it is a real thing. Physical sickness is a real thing. There is a neurologist. There's the eye doctor, the ear doctor, the nose doctor, the throat doctor. We call it eye, ear, nose, and throat. That's what we always call it. Now, don't, Marie, I'll get there. Marie's trying to help me with my list because she's seen a few of them too. There's a pulmonologist. Anybody in here work for a pulmonologist? There is one. She's downstairs. Gastro or GI. I just shortened that because I wasn't sure if I said the ologist part, I would say it right. So I said it's easier to say gastro or GI. So we do have folks in here who works for those folks. And those folks are very important. They are. Gastro and GI. Urologist. Heart doctor. Is there a special name for a heart doctor?
Cardiologist.
I was afraid to say that one too. Cardiologist, that's a heart doctor. Orthopedic doctors. Lynn just laughed because we see the same orthopedic doctor. Lynn comes in with shoulders hanging down. I come in with a shoulder hanging down, went back a few more weeks, and the other shoulder was hanging down. They said, is this the same shoulder? And I said, no, it's the other one. But the Lord's good. All these doctors deal with physical sickness. And it's good. Sometimes you go and they help you. sometimes you go and they try. And they try the best they can, I'm sure. If you hang around them long, you'll find out if there's a weakness in their doctrine, and you'll probably go look for another one if there is. The good news is they're everywhere, right? So we have a lot of doctors because we have a lot of sickness, and we want help. I want to feel good. I believe in that song. I see some of you singing it right now. I feel good. And when I go to a doctor, I want to feel good. So I go to the doctor. But let's narrow this down, because spiritual sickness can only be cured by one. And he is the great physician. You may go to another doctor and they may say, well, they didn't do a very good job here. You know, they should have done this or they should have done that. Nobody's going to say anything about the great physician. He is the great physician. And by the way, because what we have as a spiritual sickness, it is unto death. It's an eternal death. And he's the only one who can get you straightened out to where you don't have to die. You can live forever. So this physician, I'm talking about the great physician, he came to cure the sick, the poor in spirit, and heal our souls and restore our relationship with God. Can you beat that? In fact, he does it all. I tell people all the time who are going to see a doctor, and I believe it myself, that doctor may do the things he's been taught to do, but only by God's hand does he do anything that will help you, because all healing is divine. So don't ever give the doctor credit if he does something for you. You just say, thank you, Lord, for that healing, because all healing is divine. Write that on your refrigerator. The condition of your heart in the spiritual sickness part, the condition of your heart is critical to your relationship with God. And I'm not talking about your cardiologist. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your heart. If you say to someone, I love you with all my heart, you're not talking about that thing that pumps blood. You're not. You're talking about your being, your very soul, your mind, everything. I love you with all of my heart. So the condition of your heart is critical to your relationship with God, and as a Christian, to your walk with the Lord too. He says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So is it important? David thought it was. I ran across this to add to this message today, and I want to do it right now, because he says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, he says, a new heart also will I give you. I like that, don't you? If you had a bad heart and you knew the only thing they could do was remove yours and put another one in, you'd want on the list, and you'd want to be as close to the top of the list as possible, right? Yeah, that's what we want. He said, a new heart also will I give you. By the way, you don't have to wait for this one. You don't have to get on the list. You like that? I like it. If you'll go to him, he has one in store for you. And he can replace it in a heartbeat. And he doesn't need to cut you open. No, he doesn't. He just replaces it. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. You ever wonder what makes you feel like a Christian? It's the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God creating a different feel in you about other people, you got something wrong with your Christianity. with your salvation, because he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, his word, and you shall keep my judgments, his word, and do them. In other words, you're going to fall in love with the Bible. Don't ever be ashamed of the Bible. And you don't have to be one of those that throws it up on the dash and the sun kills it. You know, the sun will just absolutely kill your Bible up on that dash of that car. You don't have to put it up there where people can see it. Just keep it in your heart. Read it and read it and read it and study it and know what he's got for you. That's his word. And that's what Ezekiel is saying here, that we can have that new heart that he's talking about. So Lazarus, he had passed from death unto life when the Lord came along. He who was lost is now saved. But before all that happened, the Bible says he was sick. The title of the message today was the first few words in that scripture. A certain man was sick. Now the certain person was Lazarus at that day. The certain person could be you today. So be ready to notate that on your life, okay? As we would say when Lazarus was sick, we would say he's not doing very well. You know, somebody say, how's so-and-so doing? He's not doing very well. That means things are a little worse than they used to be. So somebody needs to look in on him, right? But he says here, he whom thou lovest is sick. I thought about that. In John 3:16, he says the same thing about me. For God so loved Dan Foster. You believe that it says that? Yeah. It says that just as sure as you're sitting where you are. He loved Dan Foster. Did he love you? He sure did. And he loved you so much that he wanted to give his only begotten son to die for you so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. You could die and go to heaven. Amen. That's why he did it. So his sickness would be the channel not to get well and walk out of the grave. That wasn't the reason for his sickness. The reason for his sickness was that that sickness would channel the Son of God would use to be glorified on the day that he said, Lazarus, come forth. And I love to hear that, and I love that song because, man, I just see the power of God all over that statement, don't you, when he says that. What he's getting here is the glory that's due to him so that you, as a child of God, can go out and live your life, your resurrected life, for him, and the world can see that there's something different about us. Folks, we can't take a pamphlet or a little piece of paper out to people and say, here, read this and get what you can. We got to start getting face to face with people and telling them that there is a hell, there is a heaven, and Jesus Christ died for you so that you would not have to go to hell. You could go to heaven. It's plain as a nose on your face. The Holy Spirit makes his entrance. The Holy Spirit makes his entrance by convincing of sin. And I know that there's a lot of people who want to talk about salvation before they want to talk about their sin. Can I tell you, you can't do it? You can't talk about your salvation until you're willing to talk about your sin, because it's your sin that he came to save you from. He didn't come to save you from yourself. He came to save you from your sin. And if you're a saved individual today, your sin is as far as it can be to his back. It's to the very depths of the sea. It is down where you don't have to deal with it anymore. Forgiven is forgiven. So, before he can give you newness of life, he's got to see that you understand that your sin is causing death to you. The death of Lazarus made him a fit subject for the resurrecting power of the Son of God. Did I say that correctly? His sickness made him a fit subject. So if you're lost today, you're just a fit subject for his resurrecting power. He can take that old dead in you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's dead. He can take that and bring it to life again. And what a life it is to come from death unto life. Man is dead in trespasses and sins, but resurrecting him is to the glory of God. And I brag on the fact that I am saved, but I hope and pray that any time I brag, he gets the glory. Because I couldn't do anything about it. So here's a man who was sick. But then the story says that he was brought to life. Brought to life. And I know you know the story. The Bible says it like this. He that was dead came forth. He that was dead came forth. Now, the day you were saved, did you look at it like this? Oh, I just had a shouting time there behind my desk yesterday going back over this. When you got saved, did you see yourself coming from death to life and walking out into a newness of life? Created a new creature, a creation, ready to do a work for him? Did you see yourself doing that? Or was it kind of surfacey or something? I couldn't tell you that's the way I saw it when I got saved. I can't tell you I saw that. But since I have seen that, it makes a whole world of difference in how I approach life. I walked out of death, out of, not away from. I walked out of death into newness of life. And that's what I am today. And that's what every born-again child of God is. You're a new life. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the world needs to see you as new. If you show me an old car going down the road and a new car right behind it, I can tell you right away which one's the new car. Say amen. You can, can't you? Yeah. I had a conversation with a man last week, and he's had three cars in his driveway. And two of them were kind of new, but one of them couldn't be driven because he blamed it on his wife. She hit the curb and blew out all the tires and all that stuff, you know. And he's saying, I was looking for a car for my grandson. So I said, you willing to sell that? And he said, oh, No, I can't do that. He said, I still owe $1,300. I said, $1,300? You mean $13,000, don't you? Because it was a new car. He said, oh, yeah, $13,000. I still owe $13,000. I said, well, my grandson's out. But then he said this. He said, the only car I have here in this driveway that's mine is that one right there that I bought in 1995. It's paid for. It's his. He knew the difference. Do you think the world knows the difference in an old person and a new person? Now, I'm not talking about old. Marie, quit laughing. I'm talking about a person who is living in their old habits and a person who is living a new life, who burst forth from death to life. They see that person that way. They're different. They are. Well, he came forth from death to life. The life-giving power of Jesus Christ could only be manifested in the case of a dead man. So you got to recognize you're dead till he can resurrect you. If you don't, you can't get there. He can't resurrect somebody who doesn't need to be resurrected. You can only know you need to be resurrected if you're dead. Jesus came in this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We must see ourselves dead in trespasses and sins, or we will never say, as Paul did, Now I live. Now I live. You think Paul knew what he's talking about? Oh, he did. Yeah. Only then can we be at liberty to be what God wants us to be. You know why I know this? Because when he brought him out, he made this statement too. He said, loose him and let him go. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the real world. And I grew up on farms with hogs and chickens and horses and everything. And there ain't nothing prettier than taking the halter off of a horse and saying, let him go. And watching that horse put all of his energy down that field, just prancing, and he's free to be. He doesn't have a halter or a bit anymore. He's free. And when God took you out of that darkness and that death unto life, he said, loose him and let him go. So you've been loosed. Some lady told me, I can't remember who it was now, you'll have to remind me, but some lady told me, that was so good, I felt so good last Sunday when we were, you know, when it's Easter or whenever it was, everybody was singing and praising the Lord. She said, man, I felt good. I said, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. When you come in here to worship, he's the one you're worshiping. And nobody cares if you raise a hand. They don't care if you raise two hands. They don't care if you raise your feet and your hands. Amen? You want to stomp your feet and shout amen? You can do that. We're worshiping the Lord. And I don't think you have to do it quiet. I'm not saying you can't worship him in quietness. You can. I've worshiped him before quietly. But boy, when you're in here with your brothers and sisters, have a party. Is it okay to say party? Yeah, have a ball witnessing and praising the Lord. How good it is. So he said, loose him and let him go. Where there is the fullness of life, and I guarantee you when old Lazarus come out of there, he was seen as a man who had fullness of life. Where there's fullness of life, you can break from the old habits. You have the power to break from the old habits and take on the new. I say again, loose him and let him go. Well, when that happened later on, didn't read this scripture, but I'm going to show you what it says anyway, because I've got to tell you the whole truth. You see, after he was sick and dead and resurrected and loosed and let go and put at liberty, then he did something that everybody will do to someone who has resurrected you from death to life. You'll love them forever. And you'll want to be around them forever. Don't you want to be around him? Well, here's what happened to Lazarus. Because then he began to have communion with the Lord. Later on in that scripture, he began to have communion with him, and his life became a testimony. Let me show you how it happened, and then you'll see. What a blessing, because it says here, let me just read it. He sat at the table with him. That was the scripture I wanted to bring to you. He sat at the table with him. You come to my house. By the way, it's real soon now. You'll be able to see my table and sit at my table, and we can commune together. We can have a good old glass of water. If you want iced tea, I'll have to go to Food City and get it. But I've got lots of water, but I do have some root beer, and I do have a Coke or two maybe, not diet. I don't have anything diet in my house. Not because it might not be good for you. That'd be okay. Might be good for me. I don't know. But, you know, just sitting around the table. He sat at the table with the one who resurrected him. I don't know if we really get how wonderful that is. You're looking across the table at the person who brought you from death into life, and you're saying, oh God, I love you. I love you. I love you for putting me where I am, and that I can sit here at this table and talk to you. Anytime you get into his word, he's talking to you. And anytime you go to him in prayer, you're talking to him. Keep that conversation going. It's a good conversation because he gave him life. And to those who have passed from death into life, there is a fellowship between you and him that just cannot be compared by anyone. And there are some very special people in my life, in my family and my friends. But there's no one can take the place of my Lord. When I sit with him at the table, and every time I open his word and sit down, I'm at the table. I'm at the table and I read and he's talking to me. I don't want to ever sit at the table with anyone of them not talk to me, would you? I sit at the table and he talks to me and I talk back to him. He tells me how much he loves me and he tells me how much he cares for me. And I tell him I love him too, but it just seems like not enough. Lazarus became a person who had a testimony. By reason of him, here's what the word says, Lazarus. By reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Wouldn't you like that to be what people say? By reason of you and your life, they went away believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you'd know right then you'd see them in glory. Anybody come to mind? Nick did a funeral this past week of his Nino. That's the way you say it? Nino's husband? Mimi. I can't get all these Nino, Mimi, and all that stuff. That, you know, why don't people just say I'm a grandma or grandpa? But you got to have all these other words. He did the funeral, and I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody handle a funeral the way he handled that funeral. He did an excellent job. He read the obituary, and in the obituary, it said that this man liked hunting, NASCAR. I didn't know where he was going with this. Hunting, NASCAR, and chess. And he took those three things and preached one of the best messages to a family who I'm sure some of them needed the Lord. And the message was to them. But it was about the conversation he had had with Robert, the person that had died, who was not a believer. And he was only 60 years old. And he was not a believer. But Nick had had a conversation with him in the hospital and at his home, maybe. And before he died, he said he's ready to go. He accepted Christ as his Savior. I thought how wonderful that is. Wouldn't it have been good if he'd done that many years before? He could have lived his life for the Lord. But Nick handled those, and I can't go into how he handled those three things. If you want to know, ask Nick. He'll tell you. But it was absolutely perfect. When you come out of that darkness to light, and that death to life, you then have a communion time with him. Talk with him anytime you want to. And then you can be that testimony. You can be that person who will say, I pray that my life will lead somebody to the Lord. You couldn't live your life better, I promise you. The influence of the risen Savior in your life. This is where on Easter we just had the resurrection of Jesus. When you get saved, that resurrection power becomes part of you. Same power that resurrected him will resurrect you. And by the way, it is the same power that resurrected you from death to life
in your salvation. What a power. How awesome that is. And you can become that witness. You may be dead in your trespasses and sins. But because He lives, you can live also. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. You can. There are many people today who don't know how they're going to face tomorrow. They're still locked into this temporary life down here. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. He can bring you from death to life. Darkness to light. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're so grateful for salvation. And we're so grateful that it's to everyone. Whosoever will can be saved. And we want to praise You for that today. And if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that today will be that day. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.